Hi, everybody. Welcome to Screen Heroes, episode 108. I am Derek, one of your weekly hosts. I have my other two lovely hosts with me.
Why are you talking like Shatner? I am one of your weekly hosts.
Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hi.
And do you want to introduce our guests?
Sure. So these two ladies are my new besties. For real. This is Nicole and Casey and their fellow cosplayers, and we saw the movie together on Friday, so I thought it would be really fun to invite them on. Fact. Heck yeah.
Cool story.
Yeah. We had noodles.
What movie?
We did have noodles.
Tomb Raider.
Is that what we're going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Tomb Raider.
Yes, we are reviewing the new 2018 Tomb Raider movie, not the old Angelina Jolie Tomb Raider movies.
Correct.
Just to clarify.
Correct.
Yes. So. Very, very, very different films.
Very different films. Very different. But first, we're going to talk news.
A little bit.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, the Infinity War trailer, clearly.
That's the obvious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What it about happened.
It? It did happen.
Yeah, it did.
There was a trailer for a movie.
A lot of people saw it.
tickets went on sale, and I think they've already beaten Black Panther's pre-sales. And
they should, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, this movie is 10 years in the making. Right. Now, so Black Panther was just, 30 years overdue.
Right. Yeah, this one has a lot of weight with the movie that's not social weight. It's entertainment weight. Yeah. And so I expected it to sell more than Black Panther.
I mean, people are expecting this to be the first $2 billion movie. So
could be.
It better have a lot of advanced sales, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Infinity War is going to be bonkers. Thank you.
Heard it here first.
Just like every
Oh, hey, T-Falls, what's up?
The best
usually
scene,
people chat this early.
The best scene is Cap holding Thanos back. I mean, realistically, Thanos isn't punching or trying to do anything strong. He's just trying to grab something, and Cap's like using everything he's got, but whatever.
Still.
It's Cap, and he's my favorite Avenger, so.
I think Thanos is trying to squash like a spider, and Cap's trying to stop him.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Or he's going for an Infinity Stone. Just
there's a lot.
Either one.
There's a scene that's direct from the comics in this, and that's the Doctor Strange torture scene.
Mm. Which is really scary because he's super powerful. And
he probably knows now where all the Infinity Stones are at this point. So it's very likely this is how Thanos finds out, is from this torture scene. Because something that Thanos and his Black Order has... probably will get Doctor Strange to talk.
They reference the infamous snap from the comic books, the finger snap that kills half of the life of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of theories out there that the movie is going to end with that snap. How weird would it be if they ended it with that snap, it went to black, and there was no post-credit scene?
And you have
scene.
No idea what's coming up.
Well,
you
have a lot of people mad for sitting through the credits, because there's so many people who are involved in a Marvel movie.
We have to wait 2 years to see who's going to die.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that would be brutal.
Like, 2 years to just see a dead Chris Evans would make me cry so hard. Like,
maybe you don't get to see any of them, they're just not in the second movie.
Right. We're just all going to be a mess, no matter what.
Yeah, I'd probably be okay with no post-credit scenes because I will just be emotionally distraught.
Well, that, and I don't want them to just immediately hint at Ant-Man and Wasp, where it's like happy-go-lucky, I'm on house arrest, everything's fine. Like, what are you doing?
I can't imagine if they do a post-credit scene, it will have anything to do with Captain Marvel or Ant-Man and the Wasp. Maybe Captain Marvel on a stretch, but Ant-Man and the Wasp, I can't see that. That would be weird.
Yeah.
I mean, there are rumors that Captain Marvel did shoot scenes, but then all of her scenes got cut. So maybe she's probably the post credit scene.
I honestly believe she did shoot scenes because her film is not filming, and she has been on a set and filmed on set. So,
or is it filming?
Oh
no, it
God.
Is filming because there's set photos taken today. So unless they're shooting Infinity War still,
I more meant the ones from like 6 months ago that surfaced.
It's the same, like it's the exact same costume and everything. It looks like a very similar
area. You mean
area.
People can wear the same clothes?
It looks like a very similar setting.
Not a Marvel movie.
Weird.
Other than Agent Coulson, nobody else has worn the same outfit twice.
Stop it.
And Coulson wears a different suit every time. So let's get
does
real.
He?
Yeah,
it looks the same. I mean, Fury's got the same eye patch.
Not in Captain Marvel. So yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Jessica Jones released last week, was it? I finished it yesterday.
How was it?
Not as good as the first season, but I think that people are complaining a lot about it. It was pretty, I thought it was entertaining.
I haven't gotten that far yet, but the complaints I've heard so far is just, like, it doesn't have as compelling of a villain.
Yeah, and that's very true.
The struggle with things.
It is. Not... But I actually thought the villain was compelling.
Isn't it Typhoid Mary?
Even more than Kilgrave?
Not more than Kilgrave, okay. No. No, it's... Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay, then don't.
Like, there's a huge spoiler, and I almost just said it, but...
thank you for not.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good villain.
Okay. What about the Venom movie that we saw the preview for, too? I wanted more.
Is it the same teaser that they already released?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing.
It's mixed.
Yeah.
I saw that, like, and I'm like...
They could go so many different ways. Yeah. It could be good, or it could be really, really, really bad.
They saw all the complaints about how can they make a Venom movie with no Spider-Man, and they were like, we're going to make a Venom movie with no Venom.
Stretch it
out. Yeah, you're going to go so far, you won't even know. Yeah.
I mean, there is
It's
nothing.
Just a Tom Hardy movie. That's the trick.
That's what it looks like. It looks like he got...
You see one of the little things come out behind his neck at the one point, and that's about it. Yeah, when he's on the, like, CAT scan table or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not a medical professional. And he's, like, screaming, and then you can see right at the very end of the little...
It's called a bed.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I thought it was like
that's the bed.
Yeah, yeah. The MRI is the bed. The bed of the MRI.
Oh, the bed of the MRI he was laying on. Yeah. I'm sorry. And yeah, so a little tentacle thing came out. And that was it. The little tentacle thing is also the technical term for what that was. Yeah.
Okay.
The Shazam logo released.
Yes. Mm. You updated your cover photo.
I did, because
hours
I love
ago.
It.
You're very excited. Very
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people complaining about it. They're like, oh, it looks so boring. I mean, look at any.
It's just one
It's
word,
literally
guys.
The name and a lightning bolt. If you look at any Marvel movie, it's the same treatment, you know?
Do you remember the first teaser for Avengers was just them slowly zooming in on the A? Like, that was it. That was it. Yeah. That was the only thing, and people lost their damn minds. Like,
well, even Thor Ragnarok was just, like, cool 80s colors and, you know, the 80s effects.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever. People are going to complain about anything.
Yeah.
It's His true. Suit's too childlike. It's too red. The lightning bolt isn't big enough. There's too many layers to the cape. Whatever.
He's
I'm done with it.
So sad.
Tell us how you really feel, Ryan.
I just want to see the movie. That's
He's
how really I
really passionate
feel.
About this, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there other news? I feel like other stuff happened.
Oh, Fox is toying around with a Buffy reboot. They want to do that. It's been in their heads for a really long time. Right now it's just rumors, and I'm completely against it. But...
So am I. I love Buffy. I mean, Slayer Club, hello. But again, like, one of the interviews that I read was saying, you know, was with Joss Whedon, and he was saying how he is not endorsing another reboot of this franchise. And so they're talking about doing it without him. How can you have a Buffy reboot with no Joss Whedon? You're taking the soul out of it. And you're just going to, what's going to be left?
What do they expect? Are they going to do, like, a shot-for-shot remake like The Office did?
And, I doubt it.
That would just be terrible. No. Or are they going to, like, mix up everybody, change genders and races?
Kind of like they did with Heathers?
And Charmed.
Oh, and Charmed.
Like, the Charmed reboot sounds awful. All three girls are, like... They put a bunch of tropes in a hat and just started picking them out. Like, there's the lesbian activist and the sorority cheerleader. And I was like,
there's different theories, too, that a lot of these networks' ratings are going down. So they think, oh, well, I'm just going to reboot a show that did really well and this is going to bring everything.
We had 9 seasons, right. Like 10 years ago.
But I don't think that's going to
be
the case.
It's going to be a different audience, too. Yeah, especially because they're changing things to reach those younger generations. But... Exactly. Why not just freaking brand new content, guys?
Exactly.
Like, just start over.
I have no skin in the game with Buffy, but Joss Whedon has kind of fallen off the horse lately with some of the stuff he's done. It's been disappointing. Justice League, lowest grossing DC movie.
I don't want to talk about it. Move on.
You know, stuff like that. Avengers and Ultron.
But didn't he take over for something
else?
He
did, but
Come
it's
on.
Pretty hotly debated that the stuff he added kind of ruined the movie.
When you have two people with competing...
Sure.
That's what's going to happen.
We're not in the studio. We don't know. But there's a lot of information that came out. And so, you know...
Fair enough.
Joss Whedon did Avengers Age of Ultron and was super overwhelmed. And it got not very good reviews also. So the stuff I've seen from him...
He's had a rough time since Ultron.
Yeah, he has.
But in the reboot news, Melissa Joan Hart is going to be doing a Clarissa Explains It All reboot.
I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, I did too.
So.
Yeah.
Childhood.
Mm-hmm. So that's
a crush on
I just like the sound whenever
I had more of a crush on her sister. her younger sister.
She had a younger brother? No.
Ferguson.
Ferguson.
I was like, I don't remember her having a sister either.
I'm pretty sure she had a sister.
I'm pretty sure you're thinking of a completely different...
Are you thinking of... Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No, not Clarissa's sister, Melissa Joan Hart's sister.
Oh my god. Okay.
Ferguson, you need this definitely.
I said Melissa Joan Hart is rebooting Clarissa Explains It All.
And then you said you had a crush on her sister.
Well, you said you had a crush on her.
Did you have a crush on her?
I thought you meant Melissa Joan Hart. Gotcha.
No, I meant Clarissa. Okay. And the character.
I'm sorry.
I can see how that's confusing.
I'm sorry. I had a crush on Melissa Joan Hart's sister.
Really glad we worked that out.
Thank you.
Wouldn't want to break up on air again.
Our Twitch chat tonight really thinks Ryan's pretty sexy.
Oh dang.
So I get that a lot.
That's a thing.
I'm just used to it by now.
Yeah.
It's all of his passion. Yeah. They really dig it.
You know? And the fact that he doesn't spill spoilers everywhere.
I almost did. I was this close. Because it revealed early in the show, and I almost just was like, oh, it happened for 8 episodes, so it was pretty, I don't know. I'm glad I didn't, though, because that would have ruined it for everybody. Of course, you guys probably are never going to watch it.
I am really glad we took the journey.
You guys might watch it. I'm sorry about those two, sorry.
I don't know about them.
Yeah. They still haven't done season 1, I don't think, so. For fair reasons. I'm not judging, I'm just saying. I don't think it's going to spoil much.
It's a difficult show to watch, that's all.
Gotcha.
There's subject matter that is probably more painful for some people than others.
It's nothing against the show.
You guys tipping toeing around the fact that I was assaulted is hilarious.
I don't want to speak for you.
I know, you're fantastic, and I love you, too. You're...
Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Yes, let's talk Tomb Raider.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
So, Tomb Raider came out. It didn't do great domestically. So, $90 million budget, which is actually fairly low. For some context, Bright, the Netflix movie with Will Smith, also got $90 million. Mm-hmm. So, that was considered a low-budget film. This one was actually in theaters with the same budget. It made $23.6 million domestically, which is about $3 million short of Black Panther. Black Panther won for the 5th week in a row. But it made $105 million internationally. So it brought in almost $130 million, which isn't, you know, terrible. It's an interesting trend that video game movies just do really well not here. You know, Warcraft was the same way. It did really well in China. It did not do well here. But
you know what will do well here? Because his name's attached to it. Even though it looks ridiculous, it's Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage will do very well.
Yeah.
But I think people have forgotten that that's a video game.
I completely agree with you.
And it doesn't really look anything like the video game, since I played that one quite a bit.
You mean The Rock didn't have a close friendship with an albino gorilla?
I mean, he may have. The game doesn't focus on the humans.
Yes, I just said that sentence. So,
the game focuses on the monsters.
Yeah. When you say it that way, I really want to go see it now. it sounds very compelling.
You, John, and I should go check it out.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we can do it. I'm still not convinced.
We'll be right behind them.
I'm okay with that. I'm down. Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be really hilarious. And I don't know if it's meant to be hilarious, but I'm probably going to laugh, like, the whole time.
So maybe we should, like, have brunch, see a Sunday morning.
Dwayne's got a great sense of humor about himself, so I don't think he has any qualms about people poking fun at him.
No, I don't think he cares.
So. Then we're going to get drunk and go watch the movie.
Yes!
Yeah, have a totally different experience from everybody that's watching it sober.
Okay. I mean, depending on the theater, you can get drunk while you're watching it.
That's true.
There's some very almost true. Every theater now you can do that.
Ryan's very disappointed in the direction we're going.
He's like, never again, guys, never again.
All right, so Tomb Raider.
Yes.
All right, so this is the third movie in the Tomb Raider franchise based off of the reboot, not the old versions of the games that the two Angelina Jolie movies were based off of. Where do you want to start?
Well, we could give our spoiler-free review.
Right. So, yeah, so for those who are not familiar with it, we go around the table and do just a quick couple sentences, spoiler-free, of what your overall thoughts are of the film before we dive into the spoiler part of the show. Ryan, you get to go first.
It's fine.
You heard it here, folks.
Man of many words.
You're allowed to elaborate.
It's extremely mediocre. I don't know if I liked it better than the original movie. I didn't like it better than the game or as much as the game.
Do you want to watch both of them back to back and compare? Maybe
I don't think I could actually do that. They're very tough to compare. That's why I struggle with it a little bit. I kind of go back and forth on which one I like more, but yeah, it's fine. I mean, if you really just love Tomb Raider more than anything in the world, you're probably going to really like this movie. But if you really don't care that much about Tomb Raider, you're probably going to be very ambivalent towards it and probably save your money and watch it when it's on TBS. Yeah. Or one other network show, a network CBS. Channel that you get for free or whatever.
Well, that explains why John really liked it.
Yeah.
John liked it a lot. My co-host on Gamer Heroes, he's obsessed with Tomb Raider.
I know, and he gave me a talking to before the podcast.
So. Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that why you're being kind of nice about it? Like,
no, I mean, is I being nice about it? I feel like I'm being
kind of... Did he bug you? Is he listening in?
I don't know if he's...
John's never actually listened to anything that we've done.
No, I don't think he has.
Classic.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. I thought it was great. Like, there are things about it that we'll obviously talk about.
Yes.
But in comparison, especially to the first films, it is eons above those, in my opinion. And that's where I'm going to stop.
Fair enough.
I agree. I've actually seen it twice. I enjoyed it more the second time, definitely, which was really weird. But as far as, like, the budget goes... They did a really good job for what they had as far as that budget goes. And for what the movie is, I think they did a really nice job of capturing, like, video game aspects in the movie. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I enjoyed it.
I was afraid I was going to say any sort of spoilers if I kept going. I was like, I'm just going to stop with some now.
I really liked it, too. I thought it was a fun watch. I thought there were some really high points in the film. I never thought there was, like, some terrible, terrible lows that took me out of it. So there were mediocre moments, for sure, but I overall liked the film.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really good, especially for a video game movie. Not that there's a whole lot of competition, but there's some level that it has to hit. I really enjoyed it, and I got to actually see something in IMAX for a change, because it wasn't 3D.
Yeah!
And that makes me so happy.
You hate 3D, too?
I do. I really do. Yeah. There's only two movies I've ever seen where it worked, and otherwise it's just kind of a waste. So, yeah. So, let's dive in. This is your spoiler warning. If you have not seen the new Tomb Raider movie and you care about spoilers, go ahead and pause, go see it, come back, and let's go.
Let's do this.
So, I would like to say that out of all of the stuff that she took, like getting beat up and hurt and stuff, like you felt her pain. Like her acting was, really good. Like, you know, when she gets punched in the stomach or hit or anything like that, like she does a really, really good job with that. I don't know.
I think even going beyond that, I think they just did a really great job at finding a great Lara Croft. The thing that I think was kind of missing from the other films is having somebody that's realistic, that you believe in, that you can see, like you said, her struggles. But also, like, you're kind of rooting for her. Like, you kind of find yourself being like, yeah, this is a victorious moment and she deserves this moment.
I liked that she wasn't a superhero from the get-go. Like, she had to kind of strive and get better and better. That, you know, the first time we see her, she's getting her ass kicked, and then she gets, you know, hauled in by the police,
and you notice, like, from the beginning too, when she does get beat in the ring, that she pulls off that move, like, towards the end, when it really counts and she nails it. And I thought that was really nice that they tied that in.
It's definitely an origin story, right? Like, she's still trying to figure out who she is rather than kind of hitting the ground running like you do in Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is a parallel I made a lot of. Like, he's already Indiana Jones at that point, and you're just in the middle of it, where she's just kind of becoming that character. So I really like that quite a bit. I thought she was great. I mean, she's a really good actor, and
she's won an Oscar.
And she did almost all of her own stunts in this movie, which I always appreciate. Not too many actors do that anymore.
Ugh, love it.
So
I have a question to ask. This is my most... it's my largest grievance with the film. Did Dominic West forget how to act since The Wire?
Oh my god,
he was awful.
It was so bad.
It was awful.
Was awkward at best for me. There were moments where I was like, "This just it doesn't feel
fatherly.
No.
It feels creepy. Like, yeah. It was not.
Or like when she was gonna open the tomb and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't come all this way to see you die. And his face, I'm like, fix your face. Like, I hate how your face looks right now.
Harsh.
Like, not, Ryan, you're being it was quiet. Not, he was not, not gonna, selling it.
Well, how did you feel about Alicia Vikander or Dominic West? Like, this?
She was fine. He was creepy. so I do want to kind of touch on some of the points you guys already said.
I didn't want
to interrupt.
No.
So the point about her, you feeling every hit, right?
Yeah.
So my problem with that was this is supposed to be a realistic movie, based in realism, much more realistic than the previous movies. Yet she's surviving things that are beyond and without like any kind of, affecting anything.
Yeah.
She gets stabbed and hurts for a little bit, but then, you know, once her dad fixes her up, she's great.
Going,
100%.
Yeah.
She, and you said she's not a superhero from the beginning. That seems pretty superhero-y to me. Like, you, she could take beatings.
That was
I get
in the
it.
Middle
a,
of the movie.
It's
Come
a
on.
Video game
she
movie, right? Like, I get that. But if you're presenting me a universe that's based in a realistic environment, then everything needs to kind of fall into that to some degree.
Well, I want to argue with you about that for a second. Because, like, if you... Okay, no. Put yourself in, like, her position. Like, if your whole life is, like, revolving around this idea that you're going to be able to meet up with this person again, and that's basically your entire life's objective is to figure out where the hell your dad is, and you finally find him. I mean, I think that kind of puts her into a position where it's almost like mama syndrome.
It magically heals her?
No, I don't think she gets magically healed. The mom adrenaline. But if you're not paying attention and you're just pumped full of just crazy amounts of adrenaline, I mean, and she's, I think she's kind of an adrenaline junkie anyway. I mean, with her family fighting, she's always, you know, trying to be one of the boys, anything she can do to make some money on the side. I think she's a scrappy kind of little girl, and she's ready for this chance to really, I guess, meet her life's objective. And
that's
she's not going to let anybody
stop her. If the whole
movie
took place in you know, hour time period, then yes, I would agree with you totally. But, like, the adrenaline from all these things, your body can only physically do so much, even with adrenaline. You know, the moms that can lift the car off of the kid when the kid is trapped, you know, that's a very, very short burst of adrenaline, and the mom is destroyed afterwards.
But she didn't lift a car.
No, she didn't, but she survived things that were I mean, your body is still taking trauma, whether it's through lifting or through impact or whatever.
I think it just falls for the normal action movie tropes.
Yes.
Of whoever the lead is gets to do crazy stuff.
That's fine. My point that I was heading towards was that the original movie at least accepted that it was in a universe where all these things could be, like, it was less believable to begin with.
Right.
So at least it's easier for me to swallow that pill that it's, she's able to do it and survive these crazy things.
I have to know, just in comparison, because this is the most ridiculous, like, superhero thing that I've ever seen, was, like, in Fast 7, or Furious 7, or whatever it is, how did you feel about...
I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Okay.
That's not Ryan's kind
how
of movie.
No, it actually is. Like, I like those movies.
Not that
how
movie.
Did
I haven't
you
seen it.
Feel about Vin Diesel and Jason Statham taking down a parking garage with a fist fight?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, no.
Brought it down.
Furious 7 is without a doubt the worst $1 billion movie ever made. And I like the franchise. That movie is terrible.
So I'm just saying, like, we can have some suspension of disbelief.
Of
just
course.
Just a little bit.
But that's the thing. Like, the problem with the fast movies is that they've become these ridiculous parody superhero characters, right? Like, nobody can, like, forget the fact that they should have had broken bones and could no longer fight. They take down a parking garage. Like, there's
with
a part where,
like,
there's a part where Vin Diesel,
like, normal human.
Vin Diesel stomps on it because he knows it's going to crack in the right spot and Statham's going to fall through the middle. Like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, that's something that you would think somebody in a giant mech suit would be doing in a really bad, like, Avatar film. But, for me, I absolutely agree with what Ryan's saying, but I think it's what all action movies do.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's any different for this one, that's all. Like, every action movie I can think of, the lead people, they always get just beat up and keep going, you know?
I did not really care for, like, the little cheesy one-liners. Like, before she kicks the guy into the chasm of souls, she's like, you messed with the wrong family. Like, kadoosh.
That was a bad
kicks.
Line.
Like, I don't even blame her for that. I just blame the bad writer.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I keep that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get what that line was supposed to do.
Yeah,
right?
But it's...
But...
It just didn't...
But I wish they would have gone, like, full cheese, and she would have kicked him in, like, you're going down!
Just full cheese.
Commit to it.
Yeah.
That was the movie wants to be taken very seriously, mm-hmm. and so you can't have that type of writing, especially at the end of the movie. Well, like, you've done a pretty good job. Yeah.
When she's coming out of the tomb and Lu Ren is pulling her out, and he kind of twists the line back on her, and he's like, you know, we're not dead yet. And she's like, no shit. I'm like, your dad just died. Like, yeah. Like, wouldn't you just be a little more sad than what you are right now? I don't
know. Can we appreciate the fact for a second that she actually raided a tomb?
Right? Yeah. Okay.
She did.
No?
Point. Okay, so yes, she did raid a tomb. But they really should just call this, like, I'm going after my dad. Calling her Lara Croft was a little bit of a mistake for me because she doesn't... The Lara Croft I know, even in the reboot, is a fan of archaeology and, mm-hmm. you know, likes this kind of stuff. She has no care in the world about any of it other than solving puzzles, I guess, and finding her dad. Her dad was everything. There was literally no passion for the actual tomb raiding or archaeology or anything about that.
Well, I think this is setting up why she's going to be having that passion. And toward mm-hmm. the end of the film, like, it's setting up for another film. It's setting up
sure.
for
but in all
that's an interesting point.
In all the games, she's always been passionate and interested in the history and things like that.
Even at the end, the only reason she wants to continue is because the company that mm-hmm. killed her dad right. is yeah. owned by the same company.
Yeah.
So it's still motivated by her dad.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Well, it's kind of a big problem with the character for me. Like, I mean,
she
call
did
it whatever,
kind of
but...
a little bit, like when they were in what's her name, the Himiko.
Oh yeah, Himiko.
Yeah, when they were in her final little area and when she was noticing the paintings on the wall and she's like, wait, something's not adding up, and she really started analyzing those. I think it just kind of shows you that she is a little bit knowledgeable on it.
I feel like that just kind of lends itself to the problem-solving abilities that they've kind of established.
Yeah,
and even that, you know, she, like when she's trying to find the journal to find where the island is, she isn't even the one that figures it out. The boat captain is like, oh, they're obviously clocks. You're such an idiot.
The extremely hungover.
But
she is supposed to be really smart. Like, that's why she figures out all the puzzle stuff, most of the puzzle stuff on her own, right? But
for some reason, they're okay with blowing apart the entire mountain. But when they get to that door, no more explosives, guys. We can't blow this door open. We have to have somebody come in and solve this puzzle.
Well, they tried it multiple times.
No, I don't think they tried actually blowing up the door because they didn't find it until she even got to the island. And
they weren't there.
They were blowing
she
up just
leads
pieces.
Them to that, and they try the explosive multiple times. Matthias Vogel said, "Let's try it again."
Okay, so then why don't explosives work
on
that?
I thought that was because they were trying combinations. I heard them say that they got the
I didn't think they were trying.
He said, "Set charge again." Like he said that line. They had tried different.
Too.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were trying to blow off the door.
Yeah, they tried both.
So what is that door made out of?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
magic, guys. It's made out of magic.
But that's the thing, is that the movie debunks any magic, right? Like, the whole thing is that it is based in reality. Mm-hmm. So that's a little...
It's a plot device.
I don't like that.
It's fine.
I kind of am okay with the fact, just going back to your point about it being a different type of Lara Croft. And it's weird because I played the original game like a long time ago.
I really liked it back in the day where I thought those graphics were the shit.
Yeah, they're so bad. But no, I actually didn't mind so much that they gave her, I guess it's like a slightly different backstory, because for me that fills in a lot of gaps and it makes me kind of care about it. And for, like, it's different from a video game perspective. You don't really give a fuck. Like, at least I don't. I'm the kind of person that I don't really care about campaigns. I just want to go in there and just like raid the shit or blow shit up or kill people, like whatever it is.
That would explain why you like this movie.
Maybe. But no, I think that it just fills in the gaps and it makes it for an easier watch for me, like as a viewer.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I'm sure for some people that works. I'm more of a fan of the story-driven parts of the games and finding out, like, all the little details about the characters. You know, in Assassin's Creed, I'm running around trying to get all the feathers so I can just that little bit of information more about the characters. So I think that the backstory is important to me, and maybe
so
that makes me an elitist or whatever about it, but
no,
I think that that's
has
a pretty important point about the character.
She kind of has, like, the Kirk syndrome from the J.J. Abrams movies, right, where her dad died or disappeared, and so
30
she's
minutes,
not...
Rachel.
I know, it took a whole half hour. And she's not going to fulfill her potential that she could because her dad's missing, right? And so I guess it's a little disappointing that it's only her dad that gets her over that, rather than it being some other bigger thing that she's trying to do the right thing. She's really just trying to find her dad, you know, which is a little disappointing. But I haven't played the new games. I played the original games.
I played the first of the new games. Yeah, of the reboot. There's two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I played the first of those two. And this movie, I'll say that it was fairly faithful in terms of, like, when you find the weapons and when she finds the weapons, it's all a lot of that is very much on point with the game. So if you're a fan of that first reboot game, it's weird to try and specify. But yeah, the newer versions of the character, a lot of that was very accurate to the way she things happen for her in the game. So if you're a huge fan of that, then I think you'll probably find something to like in this movie.
Well, and we talked about too, like right as it ended, the movie itself almost had like a video game feel to it. Like
it watches like a video game.
Yeah, like the tomb, it's like different levels of the tomb to get to, you know, the final or...
Well, how many times have you played a video game and those spiky logs have come at you while
you're
playing?
Yes, yes.
That is it was legit really from video like game. 10 video games. Like, yeah. I saw that in Crash Bandicoot last week.
I think my favorite part, too, was when she's going through the camp. Yeah. And, like, you're like, oh, man, I have that anxiety.
Is she gonna be caught? Like, she's got her freaking bow and arrow in this modern-day society, and is she gonna get killed?
Everybody has machine guns.
Again, suspension.
At least they bring that up, though, at the end, where the guy's like, you really think I can't shoot your dad before the arrow reaches you? Like, at least they acknowledge that.
Right. Let's not forget that Walter Goggins is a fantastic actor, and he has been in some really great underrated roles, like... You know, he survived a Tarantino film, and that doesn't usually happen with characters, and I love him as an actor, so he really pulled it out. So did Daniel Wu.
He was great.
I loved him, yeah.
I disagree.
You didn't like
him? Really? I thought he was boring, and I thought that he was too trusting for somebody who's supposed to be a drunk and, like, getting ready to shoot anybody that walks on his property. He's like, oh, this little girl came in here, and now I'm going to follow her across the world, and I'm just going to, you know, risk my life, because now she's my best friend, and what?
I'm going to go back and risk my life.
Yeah. They both have daddy issues, and that's really what the movie
should have been called.
Daddy issues. It would have been way more accurate.
But that's the thing, though, right? So she doesn't have, like, she doesn't want to pursue... her career that she's supposed to pursue. She's, you know, putting her body at risk and her life at risk, right? He's doing similar stuff, right? He's just getting drunk and losing his money and, you know, threatening random people who come to his boat because he's wasted. And, like, they're very, very similar people and they have that same goal. And I think that's probably why they get together.
See, but that's my thing. Like, I'm like, I guess I can kind of understand it a little bit, but for me, I just didn't feel the... Like, that was too fast for me. It didn't take enough time, but at the same time, I felt like he just wasn't...
Taken her to dinner first.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, are they supposed to be romantically inclined? Like, what are they? It was weird. I was like, are they siblings? Or are they love interests? Or,
it
like,
felt
whatever.
More platonic.
It was weird to me. It just, I didn't know what to feel about it. I was just conflicted, and I honestly feel like I could have just done without him. But of course, she had to get to the island.
But who would have stood outside the tomb for however many hours where they were doing nothing, waiting for her to come back out?
His wife.
I just don't
to go back
every 5 minutes saying, let's go, Laura.
No, guys, we gotta wait for her, guys.
I am curious how much time passed.
I know, like so many hours.
But it's still super sunny
still
out.
It's still daylight.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's the exact, it's been 15 minutes.
Is it
minutes.
The next day? Is it an hour later?
Exactly.
It's actually a really small chamber. It just looks, it used a wide lens.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's all just a trick. Did anybody believe for 1 second that Anna Miller was a good person?
No.
Because,
no.
Like,
did you, have you seen her?
Exactly. I mean, she well, does not look like a good she person. Immediately, she sits down, she talks to Laura, and she goes and touches her hair, and I'm like, oh, God. Like,
yeah,
who does that?
I can see it. Like,
I didn't think anything of it.
Some mothers do that, but usually it's the ones that are really overbearing or like it's like a power move.
Yeah,
like I just
my dad's coworker has never done that to
me.
Me.
It's very fake nice.
Like, wait, was it just a coworker? Or
yeah,
she, I thought
no,
she was her mom.
No,
her mom,
she's the stepmom.
She's the stepmom.
What?
She's the stepmom.
Right? I thought she was just like
never,
the power
I
of
she was
tiny
the
lady.
Yeah,
took care
I thought
of the
she kind
of
like helped out.
But the, like, you've never seen me line that Laura tells her.
Yeah, but when you flash back, whenever,
oh my God, we, like, I have to Google this later.
No,
I
when is she staying? Like, when her
Google
dad goes
now?
Away all the time?
When
like,
Laura,
mom died
I could have sworn
she
was her, like.
No, she's not. She's a caregiver. She's not married.
A caregiver?
She's not married
what?
To Laura's dad. She, because when these, when they flash back and she's practicing her archery with being William Tell and whatnot. And... the dad is leaving and he says, you know, I'll have Anna keep an eye on you. And she says, I don't need one of your babysitters to watch me, or, you know, something to that effect. That's who he was talking about. So...
I don't even know where.
Yeah, I don't think that. I never got the vibe that they were related.
No, I definitely thought they were related.
I did. I really did.
I was with you.
I thought it was like stepmom. The hated stepmom trope thing.
I don't think so. Me too. I think it was just like evil board member trope.
She's just.
See, that even, then that would have rubbed me the wrong way. To, like, okay, way worse.
That's,
fair. If that,
that's even weirder. Yeah.
It is.
Because in my mind, it was like the stepmom is just like trying to connect with this person who they both lost somebody they love. Right, so like I was excusing the weird behavior from
I didn't
that.
Excuse it. I still thought it was weird, and I thought she was like obviously evil, but
yeah, I thought they were related.
To me, it was almost one of those like evil, like how Cinderella's stepmom was, but
yes,
like when she did the hair thing. Well, I know she wasn't the stepmom, but when she did the hair thing,
Batman Begins vibe with Rutger Hauer, that one.
Like, yeah, that's it was definitely more of like a business, true business vibe than it was a motherly.
But like with the hair, it was one of those that
that's why I was confused. I was like, I was so lost. Like for me, I was like, this.
If they were related, couldn't she just sign the papers? And
it depends on what was in the will. If the will specifically stated that the company goes to Lara and they had some type of prenup, you know, that was the thing. So that's why I thought that it was a second wife.
I did too.
So,
well, I guess not. I guess we were wrong.
They should have gone into the prenup.
They should have.
They should have spent more time
probably
on
cut,
that.
Yeah. I guarantee.
Probably. Is that the Snyder cut?
That's the Snyder cut. There should be a Snyder cut of every movie.
Had the gritty stuff taken out.
So I will say this. I didn't realize that Junkie XL did the soundtrack. And
yeah,
I think
he's getting way more work because of Batman versus Superman. So good for him.
I think
and
it
Deadpool.
Was the most forgettable part of the movie. I don't even remember,
I don't remember
what the soundtrack was.
I remember the one of the first songs, like when she's riding her bike through the street. But after that, it's
yeah, I don't remember.
Gone.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a soundtrack guy. Like I don't remember the soundtrack at all for this movie. So that's super surprising that it was Junkie XL.
Sorry, boo.
I never paid attention to the soundtrack.
Do you want a hug?
No, I just like Junkie XL. Like, so it was just weird that I would not. It just wouldn't resonate with me at all. Like, just totally forgettable.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't feel like there were a lot of like really solid. Like in a lot of films, they slow it down and they give you like this really epic like slow moment or that you're really feeling what's going on. I didn't feel like we really had one of those for you to really hone in on the music aspect. I feel like it was all very, like, there was so much crammed into this movie, and it was just, like, a lot of action.
Like, I can't even think of, like, what is her theme?
No, I don't know.
You know?
Oh,
so,
yeah, no.
When you think of the Wonder Woman theme, it's very memorable. It's,
yeah. Sorry, I'm a score soundtrack person, so. Anyway. What else can we focus on here? So were you guys disappointed that it wasn't actually magic and it was based in reality?
No, I liked that a lot more.
I like magic. Anytime you can give me magic, I'll take it. But yeah, it didn't bother me.
Fan also.
It didn't bother me in the movie, though, that it wasn't there.
It didn't affect the movie at all for me either way. But if I was going to have my pick, I would be like, I would rather it be magic because, you know, Justice League Dark and all that kind of cool stuff and mystical and supernatural stuff is more up my alley than, you know.
I was
boring, boring science.
You got zombies.
I wanted magic.
You got zombies, though.
Yeah,
I mean, kind of.
They were totally
they
zombies.
Were, I mean, they were hyper
zombies.
Strong all of a sudden.
They even
full of rage.
They got shot. That one guy got shot several times, and he went to eat you. I mean, that's pretty freaking zombie to me.
I wanted to see some magic stuff. I think I had a hard time not drawing parallels between this and the old Indiana Jones stuff.
Yeah.
And so those, of course, they, you know, actually brought in the more magical side, not to use it, that might make some people upset, but...
religious, and...
I mean, some of it was. The fourth one had aliens,
so... I like aliens, too.
No, a lot of people, you know, they believe their religion is some sort of magic, so... I know that kind of diminishes things, but a lot of people believe, like, their god is magic, so it works hand in hand, you know?
Fair enough.
Mean, if you were living back in the time where she was put in her tomb, you probably would have thought that she was a magical, mystical creature who had the power to kill all these people with the touch of her hand, not realizing that, hey, that's how diseases spread.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Fun fact, I thought it was great because in high school, I was a carrier for mono and it didn't affect me at all. And I spread it to a bunch of my friends.
You are Himiko.
Damn. I was totally Himiko for like a year. It's pretty insane.
So, okay, well, speaking with the Indiana Jones parallel, did anybody else notice that it's basically the same kind of premise where if the good guy doesn't get involved, the bad guys never find the thing?
Yeah.
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 I noticed that.
So, in a way, the funny. Good guy makes it worse.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And then saves the day from themselves, basically.
Yes.
Right?
I would like to point out that they called it out multiple times. That, you know, if she had just done this... Mm-hmm. This yeah. wouldn't have happened, or, you know, if yeah. she had not made the choice to open the tomb, her dad right. would have died anyway, and...
Well, right, that's the whole thing, right, is that the good guy just doesn't listen to anybody else?
Yeah.
Right? And just does whatever they want, so...
But in Indiana Jones, they kind of ignore that he's basically useless.
In the first movie.
Yeah, I mean...
In the first movie. In the third one, you know, he figures it all out.
Because his dad's there.
So that's true.
And Sean Connery makes it everything dad better. Stuff, guys.
The third one is my favorite Indiana Jones.
Okay.
I know that bothers you.
It doesn't bother me that much. No, I guess I don't really have a ton to say about this movie. It was not something that really stood out to me in my mind. I'm trying to find...
That's really how I felt the first time I watched it, and then the second time I watched it, I was like, wow, this was actually a lot better this time. I don't know.
I guess maybe I just wasn't
picking it apart.
When it's on TBS, maybe I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I wasn't, like, super jazzed to go see it, but when you guys invited me, I'm like, I want to go because that sounds like a fun outing with girls that I never get to hang out with.
Yeah.
But other than that, I probably would have also waited. But I'm glad that I did see it. But I think that my main problem is, I mean, that her whole objective was all about her dad, and then that relationship was just kind of like a huge flop for me. It just did not sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost feel like it would have been better if he had just been dead.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like, if the dude had actually
And then she, like, avenged
him
or something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause at least then you have a revenge plot. But right. here, like, so why did everybody think he was dead? Did he, like, fall off? Because
he had been gone for 7 years.
Yeah.
So he just disappeared in the jungle and everyone thought he was dead?
Yeah, well, but the people on the island thought he was dead,
also
too.
Thought he
for
was
how
dead.
Long?
That, like, is the question.
Right, five.
Right? And, like...
5 years?
No, it was seven, because, yeah,
well, he was
guy
gone for
that.
7 years from...
And how
from...
long was Trinity on the island? Like, I
It
guess.
Sounded like close to 7 years.
Okay.
They,
and
yeah,
so here's
was.
The thing. So if Vogel really needs Lara's help to find this place and open the tomb... Why tell her the lie that he murdered her father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to make her want to
I wonder
help.
If... It kind of makes me think, like, maybe did he shoot him and just wound him really badly? And then, like, maybe he crawled off to go die in a cave, but he never died? I don't know.
I mean,
like,
did you see how hard it was for Laura to get away from them? Some guy who's shot, who they're thinking is dead, probably would not be able to. Escape.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like...
I don't know how he did either.
Like,
yeah.
that premise doesn't
cave.
Work for me.
Yeah.
All he has to do is make up a lie about how he got hurt and he desperately tried to save her father and they
yeah.
were buddies or whatever.
That would
what does she
that
know?
Would help.
You know?
Yeah, that would help his
right?
cause a lot.
And then she thinks she's helping her father with what he was setting out to do. Right? And then you lose that whole
well,
thing.
Well, but I also think that the guy thought that he was smart enough to do it on his own now that he had this book
mm-hmm.
that supposedly had all the answers that he was totally going to be smart enough to decipher.
Yeah.
Maybe. He was still miserable.
It's a classic
being
monologue
there.
Situation.
It is. It's true. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling my whole plan.
I do want to touch on one thing that really stood out to me in this movie, but it's kind of been like a common thing among all movies. Everything is made for a sequel now, and it really bothered me
yeah.
in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They spent like the last 15 minutes of it figuring out, oh, now she's going to get these two guns, and now she can be just like the game, and she's going to set up this plot line for her sequel, and, you know.
I actually
know.
Liked that.
It's fine,
I
guess.
Yay!
Yeah.
If you're mediocre about the movie, then why would you be so excited to see another mediocre, probably worse movie just based on the fact that almost every sequel is worse than the original?
I agree with you that I don't necessarily appreciate that a movie cannot be made without the idea of a trilogy in mind,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
right?
Or beyond that.
Or
even.
Beyond that, right? So, like, when they do the scene with Nick Frost at the pawn shop and she doesn't get the guns, I actually assume that they cut that. Because it never occurred to me that the movie would somehow wrap around itself and end up back there at the end. Because
yeah.
it didn't feel natural.
Hmm. Nick Frost was my favorite part of the film.
Oh my god,
I really liked a lot of the film. So this isn't anything bad. It's just that was a really good cameo that came out
like
of nowhere. I heard nothing about it. I'm like, my ear is always to the ground about film. So I loved that part.
If she had gotten those guns before she left, though, that would have been a much shorter movie, probably.
Yeah, that's true. That she showed up on the island.
Struggled a lot less.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the problem of trying to balance what people know of Lara Croft and what the new games are trying to turn her into, which aren't necessarily the same things. Because a lot of people still remember the old Lara ones. Croft.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. And
there's not really anything realistic about anybody using akimbo pistols, you know, one in each hand. That's not really a real thing. So in a universe you're basing on realism, is it cool? Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's neat. And some, you know, it's been done very well in some movies that are also not based in a realistic universe. But I mean, it's just...
I felt like it was fan service. That was just fan service.
It was, but it's...
I think so, but I liked it. It worked for me, guys.
Oh, I'm not saying it didn't work. I thought it was cool, too, right? But, you know, I understand what you're saying. It worked for me, because I like the movie, so I want to see another one. But I do agree with you that that's what they were doing.
Well, yeah, and setting up for... Speaking on, like, the whole sequel trilogy, having to do those things, I think that when it comes to certain types of material that they're pulling from, I think it's a lot easier for fans to want that. Like, how many video games are there of Lara Croft? More than one. How many movies should there be? Probably more than one.
There's three already, so...
I know. I get what you're saying.
But you run into the problem like Warcraft, where the Warcraft movie, which I really loved, is not going to get a sequel, and it leaves off so much stuff that now I feel like I watched just part of the story, and I'm never going to get the rest. So now I'm just disappointed.
Right.
Rather than if you just make one solid thing, and if it does well, great, maybe you get
another.
Just
make it an encapsulated story. You don't need to worry about saying, if it does great, then you go on to the sequel, you know? Mm-hmm. But you don't need to set up the plot of the sequel in the first movie.
I do, because now we know what the second movie is going to be about, right? She's going to try and figure out
Trinity
how this woman's
involved.
She's going to
take that.
She's going to take her down.
Exactly.
With her pistols.
Versus, you know, just leading you to know that she's not quite done yet.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I'm really hoping Anna Miller turns out to be like a really good karate expert or something.
Something really surprising.
She's going to be Sigourney Weaver from The Defenders.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, almost as good as Sigourney was.
I feel like you would have needed to cast somebody else, like Charlize or something like that. Because like that would be cool.
Charlize
would be
really funny though. A great villain.
Yeah.
But if she, if Anna Miller in the next movie is going to be the villain, I hope that she brings it, because if not, it will flop.
I just don't know. I mean, right now it's tracking worse than Warcraft, so I don't know that it would get a sequel, because Square Enix doesn't really necessarily
have a much smaller budget than Warcraft.
It's true.
Location helps. It saves.
And talking again about the budget and the amount of stuff they were able to do, all those stunts, all the craziness at the plane and the waterfall. Mm-hmm. And like, the only thing I just really wish there was a boulder. I really was waiting for that to happen.
For the run from a boulder.
Because there wasn't enough trophy exploration bullshit things happening.
I was waiting for it.
She literally, every surface she stepped on fell away at some point, and she ran just in the nick of time.
And I'm hanging.
It happened like six times. How many times do we need to see stuff like that happen in the movie?
She does have great finger strength.
She really works those fingers.
It's a big part of the food delivery business.
Yes.
And riding her bike.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. That was a weird part of the movie, the bike thing. Is that a thing that people do?
I was wondering, like,
in
England.
London. Like,
yeah, that's... Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I know we do weird stuff here, but... You know.
It looked fun. Like, I would be a part of something like that.
And it was nice to find out that it was
illegal.
Hit by a
car, and she did.
She did.
She hit the car.
Well, she did hit the car. That's true.
Yeah, and got her, like, got taken to jail.
Doing it to make money.
And all the guys just bailed on her, too.
Of course they did. Now, clearly that was illegal.
Well, right. I would imagine so. But that was, I mean, that was setting up the whole father thing, right? So she's in the middle of this big thing for this money she really needs, and she sees just generic middle-aged white dude number five and has, a Vietnam flashback.
I know. What is happening here? Why is she, like, freaking out about this random dude?
It's because all white people look the same.
Yeah, obviously, that's exactly why.
Obviously, that must be it.
Dominic West does kind of look like most other leading guys. So
actually, that is true.
Profile, nothing distinguishable.
Well, anything else then?
Not really. I think we've covered most of it. It's a short movie compared to some of the ones that we've talked about.
There's so much action in it that it doesn't feel as long as it is. Like, I'm the kind of person that if it's too long and it drags out, Batman v Superman. I might fall asleep, but I did not fall asleep in this movie. I didn't have to do it this time.
No.
We got some really cool trailers. I mean,
did we?
I did. We did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got Ready Player One and Venom.
Which is a great trailer.
And some type of boating love story with what's her name from Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Yeah, we didn't get that.
No, we got Rampage instead of that.
And we got
Rampage.
That horror movie where you have to be silent.
Oh, the quiet. It's got the guy from Pam, the Office. Yeah.
No, not Pam. Just Jim.
Just Jim.
That would have been better than
The Office, the movie.
Yeah. Just Jim. Oh my God. Pulling someone do the most.
It's his real life wife, Emily Blunt and Jim Krasinski.
And she's amazing.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure she's giving birth in a bathtub and having to be quiet while there's a creature coming inside.
Yes.
But that looked really good. I'm real excited.
Okay,
it
looks
so
scary. So, these creatures...
You haven't seen the
preview for this? No.
I thought we had the preview before the movie was on together.
This does not sound remotely
right. It looks terrifying. There are creatures that have taken over and the population is down.
I hope it's not going to be an M. Night Shyamalan where it's not really a creature, it's just some random person. I'll leave it.
So, it's... Yeah. you have to be quiet or else they can hear you and hunt you. And that's
obvious.
So this family has moved around and stayed alive by learning to sign and, you know, only whispering.
Because it takes up their whole town. Yeah. Like, their whole town is, like, destroyed.
Yeah. See, that's a missed opportunity. They could have actually picked deaf people who survived because they don't talk and know how to sign. That would be much more compelling.
But could they hear it coming?
Deaf people do make, you know, they do have noises that
Of course they do, but I think that would be a good opportunity to bring in deaf actors. That's all I meant.
Sure.
Okay. Deaf, and mute are different too.
Right. But deaf people usually sign. That's all I meant. It's just a good opportunity to bring in natural signers who already know rather than having actors who have to learn it. That's all I meant.
But then you wouldn't have Jim.
But they also talk. But they also talk to each other in the movie. Like, even in the trailer. Like, they have moments where they're
I haven't seen the trailer, so I have no frame of reference here.
They have kids. They have two kids. Okay. And then she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And they have to be quiet in this rickety-ass house. And they've rigged up, like, a Stranger Things like thing going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks really so good. I'm really excited to see it.
No, I haven't heard of that one at all.
And then we
it's not on my list.
Had a trailer with Gabrielle Union as a mom whose kids get taken hostage. And
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say, like...
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
The first time I've ever seen this with a black family.
Yes, and I like...
I've seen this story so many times, and it's usually a white guy whose family...
And she comes in, and now a black woman. Everyone's...
Where did you guys see the movie?
Cinemark.
Plaza.
Huh, okay. So I saw it at an AMC.
We had like 7 or 8 trailers.
We had a lot of trailers.
See, I didn't have that many. I think I just had those 4. I can't think of another one.
It was a lot.
But
it was, I'm real. Actually, I think I'm going to go see that one too.
Yeah, I do too. It looks really good.
It's been a while since I've seen her in anything.
I know. Yeah, I was like, when I see her face, it's immediately bring it on.
10 things
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, well then let's go around and give our final grades for the movie. Pluses and minuses are okay too. Ryan, would you like to begin?
Why not?
We just go clockwise.
At like a 73, somewhere in between like a C and a C minus. Could be a C, could be a C minus, depending on the day. I mean,
depending if the teacher's an answer.
Yeah. It was fine. Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst video game movie to ever come out, so that's a plus.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
It's probably Doom.
That's right up there for sure. Yeah. Assassin's Creed is also...
I haven't seen it.
Pretty low on the list.
Yeah.
I give it B minus. Solid B minus.
Yeah, I do a B plus on there. It would have been just a flat B had I not seen it the second time. Second time got that little plus on there, so.
I'm going to go with a B minus just because Dominic West was so bad.
He was so bad.
He was
creepy.
Like, you won an award, sir. What happened to you?
I was almost happy when he died. Like, that's not how I was supposed to feel.
Yeah. That's rough.
No, I mean, that's how you feel about him in 300, not in this movie. You want him to die in 300. He was the rapist senator.
Oh, God.
Maybe that's
it's
why.
It's been a while since I've seen 300.
He comes off as rapey. He should only be typecast as really rapey
that's
people.
That's so sad.
That's one thing I'm sure you guys never want to be called.
No.
Probably not.
I'm somewhere between a B minus and a C plus. I'm having a hard time deciding one way or the other. I want to give it a B minus because it's a really good video game movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
just as a movie.
But just as like a movie, I mean, I still would rather watch Indiana Jones.
Okay. No one said you can't watch both.
True. And I will watch both.
Or play the game.
Akimbo gun to your head.
I have the game. I have the first of the reboots.
You will enjoy that.
I haven't had a chance to play it. But it was good. I thought it was a good time. It was certainly not a bad movie, and it wasn't boring or anything like that. And I've seen a lot of boring movies.
Wrinkle in Time.
You fell asleep.
Was it boring?
No, that's for another time. We already talked about that, so we can talk about that later. But I think I'll go C+. I think it's probably fair. I feel like maybe I'm a little too easy on movies sometimes. I've given other movies higher ratings that don't deserve it, so we should go back someday.
And redo those retro.
Like, look, I'm gonna say it. I gave Suicide Squad and Justice League way too high of ratings after thinking it over.
And then you argued with us too. Well, at least with me, I'm pretty sure you argued with Rachel too about a lot of that stuff.
But I stand by BVS. So there we go.
I'm not gonna get into that.
All right, so that is going to be it for us. We are the Heroes Podcast Network. You can find us at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch, where we stream live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. You can chat with us, as several people did tonight, so thank you to those who did join us live. You can, of course, find us on iTunes, through Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker, or heroespodcasts.com. We'll go around and where everyone can talk about where they can find you, starting with Ryan.
I'm just gonna,
of course,
because it's easy.
We just go in the same order.
Buster Props, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff.
Yep. Mickey Mouse Cosplay, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
Vero.
Vero.
Keep forgetting about Vero.
All the regular social media platforms. Casey Lane Cosplay. That is how it's spelled, because I'm not trying to spell everything out.
Like Kansas City Lane.
Like Kansas City Lane. Space cosplay.
Gotcha. I'm Siren Ray on everything. I have ridiculous social medias out there, so you can find me on everything.
And I am the Star Trek Dude on Twitter and Facebook. We will be back next week to review Pacific Rim Uprising, which Ryan is super excited about.
I liked the first one. I'm more excited about that than Tomb Raider.
That's fair.
Robots and monsters, guys. Yeah.
Yes!
And John Boyega. So
it's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. So we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.